Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Greetings to you all in the matchless name for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a blessing for me to be here in the midst of the believers once again. This morning, we have very limited time in front of me. I want to end the service a little bit early because there are people who need to travel right after this. So I'm going to go quickly over some of the topics that we are looking at. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 14, because we were reading that portion. John chapter 14, verses 5 to 10. Thank you. This is a passage and verses that we have been reading over the last times that I've been talking about the Trinity. Today, I want to talk about the second member of the Trinity, usually people consider as the first member of the Trinity, as God the Father. Especially after we finish the meetings, we usually say, in the love of the Father, yeah? The grace of the Son, Jesus Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So the Father is a part of this Trinity, but we usually really don't have a good understanding of who the Father is. Who is this Father? Father, we always think of God the Father as someone who is far above all things, who is on his throne, who's very serious and always commanding us to do things right, otherwise we will get adi or a beating. This is how we imagine God our Father to be. But this is not the correct view of God our Father. Here, Jesus is saying to his disciples, you have seen the Father. And the disciples are asking, who is this Father? Show us this Father. And Jesus is saying, Philip, you have been with me for so long. I am the Father, and the Father is in me. Children of God, Jesus is the human expression of God the Father. God the Father's character and Jesus the Son's character are not different. Jesus doesn't have more love for his children than the Father has love for us. Imagine this. God, who is the Father, allowed his only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary. For what purpose? For what purpose? So that we can become sons and daughters of the living God. If God the Father didn't love us, he would not have sent Jesus Christ. If God the Father did not love us, he would not send the Holy Spirit as an advocate on our behalf. The Father's love is a special kind of love. Even in the Old Testament, we see even if a mother forgets her own child, I will not forget you. I will not forget you. Pettamma maranalum enne marakkathilla. That is the love of God the Father. He is not someone who's sitting far off, just commanding and looking whether you will make a mistake. Very often, sometimes, the way we see God our Father is usually through our earthly eyes. Many of us, we have experienced our fathers on earth in a particular way. And we attribute those attributes that our earthly father has to our heavenly father. I know growing up, my father has never really told me, like, I love you, Monet. Come here, give me a hug. When my father is working, he comes back home, he's tired. I see that he's like, Monet, padicho. Ukuwaicho. Huh? Etra marketi. I'm like, Papa, you just came home. Hi, drink some chai, read the newspaper. So that he wants to check in on me. If I get 8 out of 10 in my test, rendu mark evda poi? Appa njan 80% kitti. Mattevare, how did anybody get 10? Yes, they got 10. Ninikku endu patti? Padikkatha korava. It's a weakness of yours. Go study. Go spend some more time study. So sometimes when we view our Heavenly Father, we view Him through the eyes of our earthly father. Very often we see that God the Father is waiting for us to see if we will break His commandment. But that is not what the Bible teaches us about God the Father. The Trinitarian greeting that we say towards the end is love of the Father. The love of the Father cannot be compared to anything else. What is this love of the Father? So we go on. I have actually written another portion, John chapter 14, verse 15 to 21. I just want to point out a few things. It will be, Jesus is saying, I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So I just want to focus on that, because God the Father is the one who sends the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Then here, let's read John chapter 14, verse 20 to 24. It's a small portion, so we'll read it. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Jesus is teaching his disciples that if you obey my commandments, if you are actually my disciples, then I and my Father will come and make our home with you. See, God the Father is in heaven. He is on his throne. He says that the heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. He is so big, he is so huge. You cannot imagine the power, omniscience, the omnipresence, the omnipotence of God. He's almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful, and he is here even in our midst. That God can choose any place to live, and he chose you. Can you imagine that? The King of Saudi Arabia, just imagine. He can build a giant palace and live in that palace. Can you imagine him saying to one of his poor subjects, saying, I am the king, I will come and live in you, with you. Your home is going to be my home. What kind of love is that? That God would leave his place and say, I want your heart. I want your praise. I want your throne room. That is why God the Father made this space for us. Now, when we think about God the Father, we usually think about God the Father in the New Testament. In fact, Jesus, when he's teaching his disciples, he says, pray to our Heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven. Is how he starts that prayer. So when Jesus is praying, he is talking to the Heavenly Father. When he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he is going to die, he says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. But in the Old Testament, we do see the Father. I just want to read two portions among the one that is mentioned. Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 to 23, and Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1 to 2.
And he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, when my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand when I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen.
And in verse 20 it says, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Children of God, until this day, there has been no creature who has seen the face of the Father. Until this day, there has not been one, not even just a human being, not even just a divine being, no one has been able to see the Father in his full glory. Because in the moment that they see him, they will die. He is so holy, so majestic, so powerful. This attribute of God the Father is where God reveals himself to Moses. He says, I'll show you a portion of my glory. When you come into the next portion, the next Trinitarian position, I will teach about how whenever we see a description of Jesus Christ, or sorry, of God with his face being described, with the eyes of flaming fire, with the bronze legs, all of those descriptions are not of God the Father, it is about Jesus Christ. And I will show you with proof when we see Daniel chapter 7, Ezekiel chapter 1, and we see these Isaiah chapter 6, where they encounter the presence of God in his throne room. They're not seeing God the Father, they're seeing Jesus. So this same presence, no one has been able to see his face because he is so majestic and holy. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1 to 2. So here, Moses is saying, Israel, listen to me. You are the children of the living God. You are a chosen people. God has chosen you. Out of every single people, out of every single race, he chose Abraham. He chose Isaac. He chose Jacob. He could have easily chosen the Egyptians. He could have easily chosen the Assyrians. He could have easily chosen the Babylonians. He could have chosen any person that he wanted. But he chose a relative nobody and said, you are going to be my choice. Children of God, none of us are worthy in ourselves. Why would God love us? Why did God choose us? We are not worthy of God's love. But he chose you. He chose you. He chose each and every single one of us. As we sang, he made the weak strong. He made the poor rich. Because of what the Lord has done, he has chosen us not because we are good. He has not chosen us because we are rich. He has not chosen us because we have some special character. He chose you because he loves you. And he wanted you to become his son and daughter. children of God, there is no greater love than this. As we go forward, I want to see in the New Testament, there is a lot of verses there, but I want to focus on Matthew chapter 23, verses 9, and Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Matthew chapter 23, verse 9.
Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven.
Yes, can someone read 6, verse 9?
In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Can someone read 7, verse 11? Thank you. Here we are reading different attributes of God. If you go into these different verses, you will see. In John chapter 1 verse 18, it says that no one has seen the Father except the Son. And the Son came down and lived amongst us. He is the one who tells us about God the Father. How do we know who God the Father is? Because we have seen the Son. If you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. How can you know the Father? You get to know Jesus. Jesus is the full expression, human expression of God the Father. What manner of love is this? That God Himself was willing to come and die, suffer. I don't think any human being has ever suffered like Jesus did. He gave up Himself. He chose us. And He said, for them, for my son and for my daughter. That is why we pray to the Father. That is why I say, Heavenly Father, we are your children. I'm just going to go quick. Over here we say, what does it mean to call God the Father? There are different portions there. And characteristics of God the Father. I'll focus here for a bit. God the Father is our creator. All things has come through Him. In fact, when I read Revelation chapter 4, and we read that last verse, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it says, through you all things came to be. Through you all things are sustained. Jesus says, I am doing the work of my Father because my Father never stops working. Even on the seventh day when God was taking a rest, He didn't say, okay, all of creation, you can do what you want. He sustained it with His power and His breath. So in the same way, God is our creator. If you need something created in your life, if you need a deliverance in your life, ask God the Father, God, create a new way. Create a new experience. Create a new organ in me. God is able. He's our provider. My earthly father is my provider. Children of God. I don't say that term lightly. Children of God. God will meet your needs. He is a good God. If we as earthly children, fathers know how to give good things to our children, how much more the Heavenly Father will give good things to those who love Him. And He is worthy of worship and He upholds all things. I'm going to end. There is verses there about the Father and Trinity. A lot of people have been asking me for these verses and PowerPoints. I'm actually trying to make it into one end PowerPoint so that I can share it instead of having four or five different files. So I will make this PowerPoint and send it to you, and I might even print out some of these verses so that you will be able to see this. But here, God, and I'm just going to stop it here and say, God is the one who sustains us. God is the one who provides for us. He is the Father. Until now, if you thought the Father is like waiting for you to make a mistake, He's just looking for you to cross that line. Let me tell you about the love of the Father. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God sent His Holy Spirit and said, Adam, Eve, where are you? It is not that God the Father did not know what happened, But even in the midst of their disobedience, even in the midst of their sin, God desired relationship. That same God sees you for who you are, your brokenness, your sins, your wretchedness. But how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son and make a wretch his treasure. That song is talking about that everything that is dirty about you, he took it and put it in on his son. And he put his son's identity on you. What did God do in the Garden of Eden? He took Adam and Eve and he said, on the day that you sin, you will die. But I'm not going to execute that judgment. I'm going to take this lamb, kill it, and I will take its skin and cover you so that you can walk in freedom. That is what our God did. That is the love of the Father. If we know this love, it will forever change the way that we worship our God. Our God is not sitting on a throne far away just wanting you. He wants and desires relationship with you. He wants to come to you. And in Revelation chapter 21, it says that there we will see our Father face to face. The first group outside of Jesus Christ to see God the Father in all his majesty and glory are all the redeemed saints. A day is coming, children of God, where we will be able to see God in his full glory, his majesty, in his awesomeness. And in the midst of that, we will be worshiping him and saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Let us worship him and let us ask God to reveal himself to us in these coming days. May God bless you with these words.